bivalent boosters are here. Bullseye. Everyone 5 and older should get boosted today. To learn more, visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
That message brought to you by the New York City Department of Health.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? Share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water.
Are healthy air and water.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And this is
EcoLogic
for
November
11th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean,
think
an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guests today are working to ensure everyone can survive the next disaster.
Please introduce yourselves. Joel?
Okay.
Okay, that's great. Hi, and my name is Jody Stewart. I'm from the Little Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. I'm also a Superstorm Sandy survivor who...
Move your mic closer.
Disaster relief. Again, as I said, a Superstorm Sandy survivor, lost my home during the storm, which brought me to the work I do and trying to make changes so other people can survive a disaster or mitigate to make sure they don't have flooding.
Oh, boy. We're going to have Joel Huffman on. Are you there, Joel? We lost him. Darn it. All right. Okay, Joel, tell us what you experienced on 101.5 FM.
Okay.
I was at the New Jersey Organizing Project's 10th anniversary commemoration on.
Right. We have a lot of good information.
Are you hearing an echo?
Having an echo and some feedback. Let's see if we can do something about that. Oh, that's better.
Much wow. better.
Okay, but Jody, okay, but you're Jody, still coming in low. And we're still getting
sorry?
Echo.
Sorry? Can you say that again?
Yeah, good.
All right. This we're sorry, everyone, for all the static and the noise. I'm having a hard time hearing you all. So I took myself off speakerphone, so it's right in my ear now. So I'm not sure if anybody heard who I was. So why don't I throw that back out there real quick? Is that good, everyone? Yeah. Jody Stewart. I am the senior organizer with New Jersey Organizing Project. I'm also Superstorm Sandy survivor and lost my home in this storm. So I've had to fight to get everything I want to get home. Luckily, I found these wonderful people 2 years after the storm who were also going through trouble and knew how to fight back to make sure myself and thousands of other survivors make themselves get home. And right now we're working on a national thing, trying to make sure we make those big changes on a national level to make it easier for the state level. So that's who I am real quick, and we'll go deeper into what I do in a few moments.
Tell us about the recommendations that you have for the federal policies.
Oh, great idea. I'm glad you brought that up. And they're really very honest and realistic ideas, and they're for the people. They're all for the people, not corporations, not big business. And the first one is get money to people faster. You know, it took Sandy survivors a year and a half before they saw any funding to help get home. And we have Hurricane Ida. Now, Ida happened over a year ago. They will not see any federal funding coming to the state June of 2023. Totally ridiculous, right? So we need to fix that. Our second thing is survivors deserve access to a full and fair recovery system that serves our community. Because remember, our communities are our heart and soul. We don't live where we are because it's a house. It's our neighbors. They're our family. We build our community. So we want to make sure we all can be whole. The third one, which is big for me, is flood insurance should work for disaster survivors, not against them. So many times, they're paid pennies on the dollar, and they take that settlement because they're broke. They want to find a pathway home, but it's really not fair and not enough. So we want to see that change. The fourth one, recovery does not mean everything goes back to the way it was before, right? Yes, our home should, but we want to make sure they're prepared for the next storm. Elevate the home. Get grant money to be put in people's hands to elevate their home, or if they choose, buy them out and take the land back to nature. And last, disaster recovery storm must be systematic, not piecemeal, not a little bit at a time. No one gets home that way. We need it to be on a schedule, consistent, and not just for the state of New Jersey or New York, but all the states. Doesn't that sound like that'd be just such a simple and logical idea?
It really does. I know you said one of the problems was that it takes money too long for the states to get it from the federal government, right?
Yeah. Now, see, most people don't know that. They sit back and complain that they haven't gotten money from the state. But the state, in order to get money from the federal government, has to petition. First, it has to be a national disaster. Then they have to petition Congress to get money. Then Congress has to approve it, send it over to HUD to get the community disaster block grants, disaster recovery money to the state. That's a lot of processes. That just takes too long. And every disaster has to go through that because it's not a permanent solution. It's a piecemeal, each one. Why don't we have this set in stone on a federal government? A disaster happens, states can say, hey, I need this right now. We'll get the paperwork to you later. And that happens. Why aren't we just having these things planned out, because disasters are happening all the time? Florida just had another disaster yesterday. You know, another hurricane hit. Who would have thought? I wouldn't have. Not even hurricane season. So the main thing, it falls on the federal government. So if we can make changes there, then it can come down to the state, to the communities, to us.
Joel was on the line.
Welcome, Joel. Tell us about the city council meeting that started your interest in bringing this show to the air.
Why don't you introduce yourself first, Joel?
Sure. Joel Tupperman, National Lawyers Guild, Environmental Justice Committee, Environmental Justice Initiative and Law Project. And the technical difficulties that I had getting on the phone is more than emblematic of disaster relief problems. We were heavily involved with NYCHA planning after Sandy. We were involved with 9/11 recovery. And there was a total indication of lack of communications, all because the electric went down. The normal means of communication were off. And the scary part was, they came up with a multi-million-dollar plan that was based on electronics, and we asked what happens if there's another blackout, and they just said it won't work. So I think one of the first things we have to really be concerned about disaster is getting word out to people and also just making sure that they're okay.
Whenever there's an anniversary of a disaster, mass media will talk about it, and they'll maybe interview a politician who will pat himself or herself on the back, and there's like no follow-up. And when you think about the fact that Hurricane Sandy was 10 years ago, and people are still not getting into their houses, they're still not getting repairs, they're still not getting the help that they were promised back 10 years ago, it shows that the ability to follow up is sorely lacking. Hence this show on WBAI. We do follow ups.
What's worse is that...
The follow up is, to some people, the lack of funds is existential. If you have a lot of money or you have a second home, you could weather it out. And a lot of people who need immediate money don't do it. So it's not... You could blame the Fed, but I think a lot of the blame can go on to the state and local government. So it's the money that's not given, and also it's immediate emergency medical supplies that are needed. We did recovery work on behalf of a group called Action Center in Far Rockaway. A week before Sandy, the city in its great planning closed the hospital. It was down to just one little community center with one nurse that was handling the medical needs or trying to help the medical needs of thousands. And we soon found out that people were beginning to go into insulin shock because they couldn't get their access to the ATM, and they couldn't get their insulin from the pharmacy. So it's not just the money. I think it's the provisions of these emergency supplies. And also, just going back to Sandy there, besides closing the hospital, there's not that many nurses. A friend of mine happened to be a nurse at Bellevue and NYU Langhorne Hospital. They had problems with their electric, and they had like 100 nurses waiting in the cafeteria every day waiting for the electric to go on. The city, with all its great planning and landmark commissions and the like, could have just bussed them over. We made it there by car. So a lot of it's just, misallocation of resources. So hopefully people just don't fall into the trap that it's the lack of money and, in some ways, the city and the state could just easily blame the feds too readily.
Judy, it looks like you agree with Joel.
Yeah, totally agree. I wonder where most of the money went. I know there was a large sum of money put out just for media saying, come down to the shore, we're open. That money could have went to something more important, getting people home maybe, rebuilding things, mitigating better. We built a boardwalk twice
we built a boardwalk twice. I know few people who aren't home yet. That money should have went to getting families in their house. And there's one more thing, and I'm so glad. It's so nice to talk to people who know stuff. You mentioned the problems with Sandy in the beginning, but the problems still can go on. Almost 2,000 families are being asked to return the very funds that got them home. We call them clawbacks. That's not fair either. How do you ask an 80-year-old woman to give money back when she used that money to get in her house? Nothing fancy. So the whole system's broken. We have to start those repairs at a larger level. And I do laugh because I was on one of those panels with an elected official from back in the day when Sandy hit, and all he did was pat himself on the back. And I thought, arrogance, you know? Arrogance, total arrogance. People aren't home. Open your eyes to the real world.
Well, I witnessed that at city council hearing, the 10th anniversary. And I actually labeled it a love fest. City council member expressed concern about going forward, but it was all just softball questions to the director of emergency management, actually the head of the climate change for New York, who's head of DEP, the capital director of NYCHA, and several other agencies. So part of it is that there's no solid analysis that, you know, that goes on, and there's a lot of backslapping.
Right, right. You know, and I'm going to take it back on a federal level, why we've gone from just fighting on a state level to a federal level now. And finally, we know New York is going through the same problems New Jersey goes through. We know Florida. We know Louisiana is in Texas and even Puerto Rico. So we've all started joining forces now to try to make the change through screaming outcries that people need to get home. We have to think of the families and not just administrative costs. Maybe we figure that out differently, and the waste shouldn't be happening. You know, it's totally ridiculous.
And the money that's for private homes, I work primarily on behalf of NYCHA residents at Smith Houses, $85 million. Misspent, a lot of malfeasance, and we're concerned now that they built barriers that people in wheelchairs cannot get over. And they came in to try to mitigate the problem with a bridge ladder that wheelchairs can't get up, and little kids could actually just fall through it. Despite our complaints, they paid them the $85 million, and there's another few NYCHA developments that are going to be getting the same treatment.
Totally ridiculous.
I remember walking around Rockaway after Sandy hit the eastern part of Rockaway, and all these families were sort of wandering around listless because they had fixed their homes. They used their own money, fixed their homes, but they weren't allowed to go into their own home because there were inspectors that had to look at it first. And since Mayor Bloomberg had fired the inspectors or had not rehired them, there was nobody there to let them go back into their own home. And this is weeks later. And this seems to be a common thing. And, of course, it doesn't seem like all neighborhoods are treated the same. Western Rockaway was certainly got inspectors and new boilers right away compared to Eastern Rockaway. Not too far from each other. It was showing examples of the way the city works in ways that I don't think the city wished they'd have been caught doing.
I think we're coming toward the end of the program so quickly, and I think it may be time for us to talk about what people can do. Jody, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. The first thing, I'm going to make it quick. Whenever and if you're in a disaster, and I don't wish it on anybody, is I need you to document everything, because your brain goes dead. Document, 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 papers, pictures. After that, join an organization. Look for regular people who are there to help you. There's somebody out there. Go to New Jersey Organizing Project. You can Google us or NewJerseyOrganizingProject.org. We're there. We work with all kinds of disaster survivors. Join people. You need masses to make change. You need the masses to also keep you from not feeling alone in all this.
That's the beginning. Then the next step will become the fight to get you home.
Joel?
I'm the critic and defender of government, and after working with the good firefighters after 9/11, I would say start with your local government, walk into the firehouse, especially if there's special needs, and find out the firefighters and the MTs identifying what we could do when especially the disabled and physically impaired people, you know, what could we do? And then there's actually county local emergency response committees. People don't even know they exist. You know, get on the phone with them and just say, what are the plans? What are the plans for the neighborhood? Push the community board to make sure that we get reps from government to get those communications going and all type of contingency. And then people should also just get more training in dealing with disasters. And something that I think Donna would appreciate is that we also pushing for use of inflatable canoes and kayaks. That besides getting access to the water, people should start being able to use those in a flood to at least evacuate people out of the immediate area. So it's being innovative, but also to really push people who are supposed to collaborate.
Talk to the people, actually do the work instead of an official on the phone.
And I know FEMA was helpful too, but maybe
when
not enough.
Not as helpful as Occupy Sandy, because Occupy Sandy was right there.
That was just one disaster, though.
Yeah.
And what the community.
The long-term solution is you want to ask the mayor and others if why they keep on allowing buildings of tremendous size to be built on the waterfront where it's just going to be make things worse the next hurricane or storm comes up. So I think it's time to question everyone, we just want better. We want better planning, immediately and into the future.
Yeah, we're seeing that right now in Jacksonville. Yeah. Buildings are toppling in the hurricane.
Yeah. Anyway, all of that is huge. But as usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate our listeners. For more information, go to www.newjerseyop.org, newjerseyop.org, and www.nlgnyc.org. Join us next week on Friday, November 18th at 2:30 p.m. for a report on COP27. The UN Environmental Conference happening now in Egypt.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Every year, mainstream media covers disaster anniversaries. But there is precious little information for those struggling to recover still. WBAI is independent community radio. We don't support disaster capitalism. We don't accept ads or donations from corporations or foundations, which is part of the reason you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Ecologic and WBAI to exist.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs. Like everyone, the station has rent to pay. As an employer, we have a shoestring payroll and a call center. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
So to support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many interesting premiums. Most can be found both on their own webpage, ecologic@wbai.org, and on give2wbai.org. Our topics range from renewable energy to indigenous rights to celebration of nature programs. Go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and donate in the name of your favorite program, Ecologic. To become a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We love to see these BAI buddy pledges.
We work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Catherine Davis. We really appreciate you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, November 18th at 2:30 p.m. for our report on COP27.
Something that I said made you wear a frown. The way you hang your head has made the tears come down. But don't you wear a
Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
$0.33 a day, not much, is it? Loose change, a third of a cup of coffee, it's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air.